You are listening to the City Dogs podcast with your host, Kimberly Freeman from City Dog Expert. So guys, thank you all so much for joining me for my first ever podcast. I'm actually ridiculously nervous about this. I've never podcasted before. I've done Instagram, I've done, you know, all of the social media stuff, and I've done the blogging, but this is a lot scarier. So thank you all for joining me, and I really, really appreciate it. So yeah, for the first time, we are going to be chatting to one of my favorite London dogs. His name is Buxton. He's owned by Jennifer, and he is a rescue dog. Any of you that have followed me on City Dog Expert know that I love rescues and I love promoting rescues. So I'm really, really honored to have Buxton and his owner as the first guest on the podcast. Hey guys, so for our first ever podcast, we have Buxton and his amazing mum here for the first time. Do you want to introduce yourself?
Yeah, my name is Jennifer. As you maybe can tell, I'm from New Jersey in the United States, and I live here in London with my precious pup, Buxton.
So tell me about Buxton.
Yeah, so Buxton is the king of the crossbreed. He's got about four different pups in him, all scruffy looking. He's a scruffy little terrier. I adopted him from Battersea about a year ago, just over a year ago.
And so for everyone that doesn't know what Battersea is.
Yeah. So Battersea Dog and Cats Home is a dog shelter that has been around since, I think, the 1800s. They were one of the first organizations to really step up and say that, yeah, dogs needed to be treated well, especially in London. There was a lot of street dogs at the time and working dogs at the time who... Yeah, when their working life was done, they would just be put out on the street. So Battersea stepped up and they said, no, these dogs needed to be treated well and given a home. And it's really well known here. And it's funny because as an American, I'm actually not sure how I heard of Battersea in the first place.
Oh, wow.
It was just sort of like something I knew about. But yeah, they've got a TV show starring Paul O'Grady and... But yeah, they're a charity organization that works really hard to find homes for dogs and cats here in London.
Yeah, I think they're probably the oldest known dog rescue that I know of.
Yeah.
Or at least the most famous in the UK.
Yeah, and they've been in that same spot in Battersea for... Yeah, a really long time.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. And that's quite close to where you live, isn't it?
Yeah, so I live in Vauxhall.
Which is central London.
Yeah. So just south of the river, just south of the Palace of Westminster.
Ooh.
Yeah, I know, fancy.
Really fancy.
I think as well as being an American, you know, like... People, you know, when you think of London, you know, that's what they think of. And so it's like, yeah, actually, that is, in fact, where I live. So, it's really good. And it's nice being central. There's lots of parks and stuff all around. And we're close to all of the amenities. And, yeah, I mean, it's the best of London while still being relatively quiet and out of the way.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
And the reason I wanted you specifically as the first guest is not just because I love you, but I love Buxton. Buxton is probably one of my favorite London dogs.
Yeah. I think it's hard not to, of course.
Right.
I think that it's really interesting because when you think about a rescue dog, right? Like you have a particular image that comes into your head.
Staffies.
Right. Greyhounds.
Yeah.
And as well, you have a particular like mentality for those dogs or like what they are going to be like.
Yeah.
And I feel like Buxton is the opposite of all of those things. and I think it's just what that is he's the opposite of what you think of, but that doesn't mean he's the opposite of what a rescue dog is.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. He's just, you know, I think rescue dogs, especially, here in London have gotten a bad, name.
Yeah.
They have a bad reputation, but the truth is, that not all rescue dogs are the same, you know. I very often will be at the park and, you know, people will ask me about Buxton and I'll say he's a rescue. And more often than not, I have people say, well, why would anybody want to get rid of him?
Yep.
But that's not what it's about, you know.
Absolutely.
People have different reasons and different situations for why they can't care for their animal. So not all rescue dogs are big and terrifying with bad attitudes.
Yeah. And, you know, something that's really important to me is breaking down those particular barriers and those stereotypes people have about rescues. Because I think more people would rescue if they realised you can get good dogs in rescues. Most rescue centres, in fact, every single one I've ever worked with, would never rehome an aggressive dog.
No,
you know,
no.
They want people to rescue. They want the dog to be in a home for life. So it's in their best interest to know that the dog's well socialized, well behaved, etc., etc. So, you know, dogs like Buxton, I think, are little advocates for rescue dogs, and they prove to people that you can get good dogs in rescue, and you can get cute little fluffy ones. They're not all massive dogs or old dogs, because I mean, how old is he now?
He's 3.5 and I've had him for a year.
Right.
Yeah.
So, you know, he was an adolescent.
Yeah.
And he's fantastic.
He really is. And I think it's just, that's what we want to do. We really want to show people that not all rescue dogs are what you think of. And I think one of the big problems isn't this what everybody's saying at the moment? We live in a culture of Deliveroo and Amazon Prime and Amazon Prime Now.
Yeah.
And then that's the thing, is people want something and they want it immediately.
Yeah.
And so they might go on the Battersea website or, any number of places and go on their website and see what's available and be like, well, I don't want any of those dogs.
Yeah.
So then they just move on and get something immediately. And the truth is, I applied in May, with Battersea, and I didn't get Buxton until September.
But if you went to a breeder, a good breeder,
exactly.
You would have... I know people that have waited 2 or 3 years on a breeder's books to get the specific breed that they wanted.
Right.
And, you know, there's so many rescue centres in the UK in general that if you wanted, say, a Chihuahua or a Pomeranian, which is what I have...
Mm-hmm.
You just have to keep looking around and around, and you will find one within a few months.
Yeah.
You know, it's often faster than getting one from a good rescue from a good breeder.
Yeah, and I think that's just people. Yeah, you need to do your research, and there's a lot of times. Buxton was never available on their website.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so they, as soon as Buxton became available, or just how the system there in Battersea works is it's very much like a dating website or something, where they give you like an individual number and you have to email them, and you email and say, do I have any matches today?
Oh, interesting.
Yeah. So Buxton never made it onto the website because he became available. And if you can hear Buxton on the microphone right now,
he's
having a good sniff. he became available for adoption the day that I emailed. So it just was like really perfect timing in that.
Yeah.
But so he never made it on the website.
Oh,
so if you make that commitment that you want to get a rescue dog, go and apply somewhere. Like,
absolutely.
Get your details, because they're not going to know to get in contact with you. And that's the thing, other people are doing what I did.
Yeah.
And so maybe those cute, fluffy, or puppies even are getting, you know, adopted before they can be put on the website.
You know, it comes down to timing, because when I went to Animal Care and Control in New York I saw Folly on a website, and I was like, you know what, I just need to go and see her.
Yeah.
Famous last words.
Yeah.
I'll just see how she is, you know. And I turned up there, and it just happened to be that I was the first person to have walked in.
Yeah.
And that was it, you know. But there was about 19 or 20 people lining up outside being like, hey, can we meet the Pomeranian? And I was like, sorry, guys.
I was here.
Yeah. As I'm signing all her adoption paperwork, I'm like, my bad. She's mine now.
You snooze, you lose.
Exactly. Gotta get on that train.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that people just aren't patient, you know, or they're so stuck in their head.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a bad thing. Like, some people have reasons they want the dog that they want, you know. But for me, I wanted a dog that had a certain personality.
Yeah.
I wanted a dog I could take to work with me. I wanted a dog that, would fit into my life in London.
Absolutely.
And those were the things that were important to me. The breed wasn't so important to me.
Yeah.
I mean,
within rescues, you can find... within breeds, you can find rescues for every single breed there is pretty much on earth. Even the rarest dog in the UK has a rescue group.
Yeah.
So sometimes people, I think, use that as an excuse. Oh, you can't find XYZ breed in rescue. Well, you can.
Yeah.
You just need to do some homework.
And that's exactly right. Because people, so often, people buy a dog
yep.
quickly
yep.
because they want that immediate fix of yeah. getting that puppy or, you know, whatever. And mm-hmm. then they just realize it's yeah. not what they think it is.
Yep.
It is actually a commitment. It's mm-hmm. a change in lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
And some people can't do that. So you can find those like designer dogs, those yeah. designer breeds, that need to be rescued. They need a home as
absolutely.
Well.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Labradoodles, especially. There's yeah. loads of those that appear in rescues.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times with crossbreeds, you do generally get better genetics,
mm.
but sometimes you get the best of each breed,
yeah.
and sometimes you get the worst.
yeah, yeah.
So, you know, you kind of never really know what you're getting with a cross in any case.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, honestly, most people, unless that dog has a specific purpose,
mm.
or you have a specific lifestyle where you need something more active or more lazy,
mm.
crossbreeds are just as good to yeah. be adopting. You know, you don't always need to say, mm. I need a purebred XYZ. Like, mm. crosses are fantastic.
Yeah.
And generally, genetically, they're a lot healthier as well,
yeah,
which is
yeah.
good.
And that's what's important to me.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
I needed a dog. I said to them at Battersea, like, I wanted the right dog.
Yeah.
I didn't want the right now dog.
Absolutely.
And it was amazing as well, because it was... If you're buying a puppy,
mm-hmm.
You really don't know what you're going to get,
because mm-hmm.
you don't know what that puppy's going to grow up to be like.
Yep.
but I had this amazing opportunity with Battersea to be able to tell Battersea, like, this is the personality that I need because of the work that I do,
yep.
and I wanted to bring my dog to work.
Mm-hmm.
This is the sort of personality I need. And so they were able to tell me, actually, this personality isn't working for that, or this dog is going to be too hyper, this dog is too timid,
mm-hmm.
you know. So they were able to tell me those things and to look out for those things for me.
Mm-hmm.
And I knew that I could trust them.
Fantastic.
And yeah, they did an amazing job, because
he's brilliant.
He really is. I know I'm biased.
Like if I wasn't already full at my house, there yeah. would be a kidnapping situation happening. And knowing now he's caught a Pomeranian,
yeah.
I mean, he just fits right in.
Yeah, yeah. And that's what it is, isn't it? You gotta find what you love. But it was that was fun. That was fun doing the DNA and my jaw dropping when I saw the Pomeranian.
So
wait,
Buxton was presented to you as
yeah.
a Cairn Terrier,
yeah, so,
right?
Well, so he was presented to me as a Cairn Terrier,
yeah.
but like obviously a mix, because
yeah.
he's way bigger than a Cairn.
Yeah.
He doesn't have the ears of a Cairn, and he doesn't have the fur of a Cairn. So I was like, okay, so he's like a Cairn plus,
yeah.
right? That's what I assumed.
Yeah.
And that's what I told everybody. I decided to do his DNA, and when I got it back, there wasn't a single bit of Cairn on there. So yeah, mostly Pomeranian.
Represent.
Yes. So one of his parents was a Porky, a Pomeranian Yorkie.
Oh my gosh.
Which I think they're the cutest dogs in the whole world, I'm not going to lie. So when I found that out, I was like, whoa. and then his other parent was mostly a Pomeranian
okay.
Chihuahua, but the Pomeranian had like a Jack Russell somewhere in the lineup.
Interesting.
Yeah, so obviously, and yeah, he was purchased, his original owner purchased him off the internet.
Wow.
And so I'm assuming they told, yeah, they were presenting him as a Cairn,
yeah.
When they whoever had bred him, because
mm-hmm.
He's got like the face of a Cairn and markings.
When I first met him, I think I said a Cairn cross Yorkie.
Yeah, yeah. So he does have some Yorkie in him.
Yeah,
but now,
a little bit right.
Yeah, yeah. But hey, you didn't know, right?
Right.
But that's exactly what dodgy breeders can
yeah.
do, and this is a perfect example
mm-hmm.
of you think you're getting something, you think you're paying for something.
Yep.
And you're not.
Absolutely.
You're getting what you don't know. And then the thing is, like, because there are some personality types, or for me, the reason I wanted to get his DNA done was because of health issues.
Mm.
There are, like, specific health issues that can be within breeds
yep.
that can often get bred out with mixes, but sometimes they're not.
Yeah.
Yeah, like all of his breeds have dodgy knees.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
You know, so that was something I wouldn't have known if I
mm-hmm.
hadn't like gotten his DNA done.
Mm-hmm.
But that's what you need to look out for with these. Yeah, beyond the myriad of other things, they're just dodgy breeders can lie to you. They
mm-hmm.
can mislead you. They're probably the thing that breaks my heart is like, where are his parents? You know,
yeah, that's a scary thing.
Yeah,
probably backyard breeders somewhere.
Exactly.
Jeez.
Yeah. And so that's why it's good. It's so important if you don't know where your dog is coming from. Yeah. Like, if you don't know the lineage, if you haven't met the parents. Yeah.
Don't buy a dog off the internet.
No.
Don't buy the... And, you hear all these stories about people meeting people in gas stations and stuff. Like, people dropping the dogs off without you ever having seen the parents. Yeah. Like, don't do that.
No.
You know, the UK's trying to make it more difficult for backyard breeders with Lucy's Law that was just introduced a few months ago. But they're going to find ways around it.
Yeah.
You know, and in other countries as well, you just have constant problems with puppy mills.
Yeah.
Which is one of the reasons that I think it's also really important for people to rescue instead of, like, continuously supporting that cycle. Mm-hmm. In the States especially, you know, buying dogs in pet shops.
Yeah.
100% of the time, they are from puppy mills.
Yeah, and it's awful. And you don't, but you just don't know.
Yeah.
Like, you don't know what you're getting.
Yeah.
They could lie to you about how old the dog is.
Health problems, everything.
Yeah, and so that's why, it's beating a dead horse, but you gotta know where your dog comes from.
Yeah.
And that's why going to places like, like Battersea, who do extensive background, you know, they monitor your dog. They don't get the dog in and then give it to you the next day. They keep the dog there for weeks, make sure that they're healthy enough to...
Behavioral assessments as well. Exactly.
Everything. Yeah. They do everything for you before you bring that dog home. So you are not getting any surprises.
Yeah.
And that's why I think it's so important, you know, if you don't know where your dog is coming from... Don't get it. Know what you can know, or don't get the dog, because you don't know, because your dog might be another dog that ends up in Battersea because you can't handle it. You're thinking you're adopting a cute little dog that's not going to ever weigh more than 5 pounds, and, you know, lo and behold, 50 pounds later, you know.
I mean, that happens a lot with Pomeranians, actually, that people buy Poms for, like, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, sometimes, like, 9,000 for the white ones. And they're sold a teacup/micro Pomeranian.
Mm-hmm.
And the dog turns out to be a Spitz. And there's nothing wrong with Spitzes. But if someone's paying $9,000 for a tiny little Pomeranian, you know.
I can't. Like, that's one of those things. I have a good friend who, she's got a little Malty Poo who I watched. And one of my coworkers, who's just, he's a great guy, really, really funny, took both of the dogs, Buxton, my dog, and this little Malty Poo for a walk. And then when they came back, we were talking about how much Malty Poos cost.
Yeah.
And he was like, are you kidding me? Like, he felt like he was, like, his precious cargo or something. He's like, what if somebody mugged me while I was out there?
They're going to take the dog over the Rolex.
Yeah, exactly. Because that's it. Why? You're spending all this money on something. But that's it. You wouldn't spend £9,000 on a handbag or a watch or anything if you didn't know it was real.
Absolutely.
But people are doing it with dogs all the time. Yeah. They're spending big money and they don't actually know what they're getting.
Yeah. I'm just staring at Buxton, guys. He's sitting on the sofa in the office, and he's just being absolutely adorable. Yeah,
you wouldn't know he was here. He doesn't make a lot of noise. He's really docile. He's really sweet. He's just such a love.
Buxton, maybe there is space for you in my house.
I don't think so.
I think your mum might fight me.
Yeah, no, I would.
Absolutely. So... What was the impetus behind getting a dog in the city?
Because
it's a big decision, you know, living in the center of a city and being like, I'm going to get a dog.
Yeah, so it's interesting. I think for anybody who lives in London, it seems like this is like the thing everybody knows. But everybody who is looking from the outside doesn't realize that this metropolitan city, one of the greatest cities in the world, people come from all over the world to visit here. It's one of the loneliest places to live.
Yeah.
You are surrounded by people, and it's so hard to make connections.
Yeah.
And part of that is that it's a stopover city. It's a city that people come to for university, or they might come to, you know, to get a good job on their CV before they move on, or they come and they live here until they get married, and then they move out.
Yeah.
And so it is really difficult to make deep connections with people in the city. It's just really hard. And I've only lived in London for just over 2 years. I've lived in the UK for 5, but I've only been in London for just over 2. And when I first moved to London, I made like a friend instantly. And it was amazing. And we did all the things together. And then she moved out of the country. Yeah, she moved out of the country. And one of the things she said to me was like, "Don't replace me unless you want to get a dog." And she was like, "I'll be fine if you replace me with a dog." And the truth is, like, I grew up with dogs. I've had dogs my whole life. And yeah, it just doesn't feel like home without a dog. Mm-hmm. And so she moved back to the U.S. And then the next week I went to Battersea and applied.
Oh, my gosh.
And yeah, it took a while. Like I said, it took the whole summer before we found, you know, the right dog. But that's just what I needed. I needed something to ground me in London, because it's so easy to, like, get lost in the city. Like, who you are, get lost in the city. And having a dog in London has really helped me to find my place here, to find my home here. Mm-hmm. And as well, like, he is an open door to so many people. I think, walking in the park is great, but walking in the park with a dog is a whole different experience. Going out for coffee alone is fine. Mm-hmm. Going out for coffee with your dog, again, it's a whole different experience. Strangers talk to me a lot more, which I love. Like, I love having conversations with people because they want to know about the dog, and then it leads on to other stuff. And
do you think that Londoners generally are dog lovers?
I think so.
Yeah.
I mean, you have people who live in London who culturally don't like dogs. Right. And you see them from time to time, and that's fine. Mm-hmm. But early on a Saturday morning, when you're on the tube with your dog going to, like, Hampstead Heath or something like that, people are so excited, you know, to see a dog, and people want to talk to you. And this is, I mean, for anybody who's listening, who's never been to London, people don't talk to each other on the tube.
That's like, true. They won't even look at each other.
And you don't have a packed, I mean, like, shoulder to shoulder. Yep. Like, you can smell what deodorant that person uses. And it will be silent. Yeah. Like, you could hear a pin drop. And you get on the tube with a dog, and people automatically start talking, and, like, other people, like, so people will be talking to me, and then the person next to me will be then talking to the person across about their dog that they had, they had as a kid, and it just starts a conversation. And for me, something that's really important is community. I think community is so important, and it's such a healthy way to live, to live in community with other people.
And then do you find the dog community is different here? Or?
Yeah, so it's been interesting. I think I wouldn't have had a community for myself if I put Buxton on Instagram. That's what I did. And that was how I found a community for myself here. Mm-hmm. And it's different, but you've got a foundation, you know, like, if you're just trying to make a friend, even if you, like, go to a class or, you know, go to yoga with them or whatever, you don't have that thing that grounds you and brings you back. Where there's so many people I've met who they have dogs as well. Mm-hmm. And we can just constantly, like, keep up with that. That's something that you can constantly talk about and meet up with. Because you always have to take your dog out.
Absolutely.
So if you're taking your dog out, and the woman who lives 20 minutes away is also taking their dog out. Why not meet in the middle, you know? And so that's been so fantastic.
Oh, good.
Yeah, it's really been the thing. And people here, it's funny. It's like a different side of London, you know? It makes London feel much smaller. Mm-hmm. It makes London feel almost like a small town. If you just think about, like, all these people that I know now because of our mutual love for our pet, for our dog, it makes it feel like so much smaller than it actually is, so much more manageable than it actually is.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, that's how we got to know each other.
Yeah.
Through the dog.
Through the dogs. And that's it's amazing. It really is. Like, in a city of however many millions of people that you can you live a 15-minute walk away from me, yep. and we would have never, our paths would have never crossed, no. because how many thousands of people are in exactly. between you and me?
And now, like, a year later, you're in the office, yeah. I'm like, hey, come and do a podcast with me.
Sounds good. Yeah. Yeah. And that's just it. And I think that's why doing stuff like this is important, is because mm-hmm. I want to broaden that community. Yeah. And I think if you hear somebody on a podcast or see somebody with an Instagram or read somebody's blog, mm-hmm. and then you read about an event that's happening, you already feel like you know that person.
Yeah.
So it makes it easier than just like walking into a room of people you've never met and you Absolutely. Don't know.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And so it really takes that edge off of...
Mm-hmm. But you know what I find... Even if I walk into a room with people I don't know, but I've got my dogs with me, I'm so much more confident than if I'm just in there by myself.
Yeah.
You know, they kind of, well, you have to stay confident for your dog. Yeah. You know, you don't want to go turn up scared that your dogs suddenly react to that. Mm. But you also have that comfort of knowing someone already. Yeah. Or in my case, knowing five beings.
Yeah.
that are like already there. And I'm like, you know what? This is fine. This is home. Like these are the things that I love.
Yeah.
I'm going to be okay in this situation. Yeah. Just relax. And most of the time it's absolutely fine.
Yeah. Yeah. You're right. Like I've never been anywhere with the dog, with Buxton that I've felt uncomfortable. Yeah. I think I said at the beginning, like he's just so grounded.
Oh, yeah.
And he makes things just feel everywhere mm-hmm. a bit more like home, and it's as well, I want to protect him and I want to care for him, and yeah. so that takes my mind off of my own anxiety and insecurities, yeah. because I'm not thinking about myself anymore, I'm not putting myself as number one in that situation.
Absolutely. But tell me though, do you find that London is a dog friendly city?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So coming from the US, mm-hmm. and I think I worked in New York City, but I lived in suburbia. I lived at the Jersey Shore.
Yes. So I know it well.
So I would say in comparison, yes. Mm-hmm. Like for like suburban, yeah, USA, absolutely. I've never had a day where I have found it difficult to bring my dog somewhere. Mm-hmm. Or be able to schedule my weekends around the dog friendly things yeah. and events. And, so I would say, yeah, in general, I find it very dog friendly. I hear about like other cities mm-hmm. being like, my hairdresser, the guy that does my hair is, German, but used to live in Paris. And he was just saying how much more, like he yeah. doesn't find it dog friendly. But of course I don't have that.
Well, see, I used yeah. to live in Paris as well. And, Paris to me is probably the most dog friendly place in Europe I can think of. But I've traveled with my dogs throughout yeah. France, been to Italy, recently was in Brussels, and they're all absolutely fantastic. But for English speaking countries, I think that the UK is definitely one of the leaders, if not the yeah. leader. Like in the States, especially in New York, where I used to live as well. It's you can't go into restaurants with your dogs. Most bars don't yeah. allow you to take your dogs in with you.
Yeah.
It's patio only, and some places won't even let you on the patio with your dog. And here I find I can bring my dogs to work with me.
Yeah.
I can go into restaurants and pubs and bars and all of these places. It's more often you can take your dog than you can't.
Yeah. And people I find are far more gracious about it as well. Yeah. Like yeah, they don't look at you like I'm an idiot if you're emailing them. I've emailed places and been like, hey, can I bring my dog? And they genuinely apologize and yeah. say, yeah, if they can. Yeah, sorry. But the places that I am able to bring them, they make such a big deal Absolutely. Out of it. And that's so nice. Like,
Absolutely.
Yeah, we went somewhere in Notting Hill recently and it was just like, yeah, like he was like a little superstar and the staff were coming up to see him and, you know, they made sure he had water and they kept giving him treats and it was just so nice, you know.
I'm finding now as well, because I take my dogs a lot of places with me too, that a lot of places now and chain restaurants are actually offering cookies and dog treats
yeah.
and even having like dog menus yes. as well, which is just fantastic.
And the thing is, I'll go out of my way yeah. to go to places like that.
Absolutely.
And I think that's, it's an interesting market that I feel like more people really do need to invest in, more restaurants and businesses and stuff. Because I will spend the money.
Yeah.
I have no problem going out of my way, you know, traveling a little bit further, going to a place that has a dog menu on a Friday night. Yeah, because well, that's what I want. I want to spend my time with my dog, you know, and it makes me more comfortable going out. And so, yeah, if you tell me that you've got a doggy cocktail menu. And
I'm there. Well, I went somewhere a few weeks ago with one of my friends, and they brought out the doggy menu for the Pomeranians. I was like, fantastic. Can I see the vegan menu, please? And they're like, we don't have vegan menu. So there were actually more options for the dogs than there were for me.
That's hilarious.
It was brilliant. Yeah.
But that's what blows my mind, like places that don't allow dogs.
Yes.
Because there is a market. I mean, there are people that you and I both know, Kim, who spend a lot of money on their dogs. Yes. And that's not at all like a criticism. I think it's amazing because I'm one of those people. Yeah. You know, I will spend a lot of money on my dog, and you put a doggy menu, you treat my dog well. Mm-hmm. Not only am I going to come back, I'm going to tell everybody, even the not dog friendly people about you. Why wouldn't you want to tap into that market?
Yeah. No, I feel exactly the same way.
Yeah, and there are so many interesting places in London that are one-offs, and they're a bit quirky, and they're a bit unique that you won't find anywhere else. And to be able to share that experience with your dog it makes it so much better.
I think it's kind of magical, isn't it?
You know,
that a place, a big suburban city like London, is so accommodating of dogs. Whereas, I mean, if you think only about, you know, 60 years ago, dogs were kept outside, chained up in the garden, used as security, you know, and now they're like welcomed at dinner.
Yeah, I know. Because they are, they're part of our families, you know, and like, they, for me, as somebody who, my physical family, my human family.
do have to differentiate, right?
Because my human family is on the other side of the ocean. And I am. I mean, it is interesting. I'm in London by myself. Mm-hmm. I've got, no family here. You know, I'm single.
Single dog mom.
Exactly. You know, so my dog is my family here. Yeah. So I make sure, like, Christmas, my friends invite me over. I can bring Buxton, right? Yeah, of course. And it's a given now. Yeah. And now, it's funny, like, my boss's kids, I saw them over the weekend, and they run up to me, and I said, oh, hey, how are you? Yeah, where's Buxton?
Aww.
Yeah.
That is so cute.
So they know, people know now that he's my family, and we're a package deal, and... Yeah, it's great. And it's great to have a dog in a place where it is so easy to get, like, lost. It is so easy to feel like you don't belong.
Yeah.
It's so overwhelming in London. And if you don't have something that grounds you and that keeps you, like, sane, it is very easy for the city to eat you alive.
You know, I've said this to a lot of people I know in real life. Making friends as an adult is so hard.
It is.
So, and I've only been in London for 2 years as well. Mm. And thank goodness for the dogs, because everyone now in my neighborhood knows me. They're looking out for me. If they see me with just four dogs, they're like, is everything okay?
Yeah.
Where's the other one? You know, or if they see my dog walker with the dogs, they're like, is Kim okay? You know, and they look out for each other, which I think is really nice. I'm now like the crazy dog lady of the area. But if anyone's ever trying to find me, they all know. Yeah. They're like, oh, she's over there.
Yeah, we know where she lives.
Yeah. Now, okay, controversial question.
Oh, boy.
Here we go. Do you consider yourself a dog mum?
That's interesting. this is funny. This is so cheesy because it's going to answer the question on its own, I think. When I'm talking about myself on Buxton's Instagram, okay? Oh, man, this is crazy. So, obviously, Buxton's Instagram is in my made-up Buxton voice, right? So, it's not even... It's the fourth person, I guess, right? Because I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking through my dog. I refer to myself as Buxton's person.
Okay.
So, but So, I definitely consider him like a child for me. But I don't ever say, like... I don't refer to myself as mummy, unless I'm being, like, really cheesy. So I would go so far as to say, and I don't know, maybe it's just strange, like, maybe it's the British, like, mum thing. Mm-hmm. I would definitely say I'm a pet parent.
Okay.
But I don't know that I would use the word mum or mummy.
Right.
And that just might be a cultural difference. But yeah, I would definitely, he's like my child. He is the thing that I have to take care of.
Yeah.
He is the thing that makes me have to get out of bed in the morning, even on like days when I don't want to. Mm-hmm. And isn't that what a child is? You know, we were talking earlier, plants are my second favorite thing, but I don't have to get out of bed for my plants.
That's true.
You know, trust me, I can go without watering them for, you know, but I have to take care of Buxton and I have to put him as a priority in my life. But it's nice that I can go out in an evening and go to the theater and he can chill out for a little bit.
Yeah, that is true.
Yeah, so I definitely wouldn't refer to myself as Buxton's mom or his mommy, but I would say that I was a pet parent. On Instagram, I refer to myself as my person.
So Buxton has a really good following on Instagram. Yeah. I know we were talking about this earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
What made you decide, I'm gonna just put some pictures of my dog up here?
It's really funny. So I'm at an age where my friends are having babies or their second babies. And I hate it when they make their profile picture just their child and not them. I is horrible. Sorry, everyone. And then, like, you're following these people who, they're your friends, or maybe they're not even your friends. Maybe they're your acquaintances.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's how social media works now, right? And all of a sudden, they're like really cool Instagram of like their life and their cool job is their baby. And so many people, like, I feel like post on Instagram, like, they're the first person to ever have a child.
they define themselves by their child. Yeah.
And I was like, listen, guys, I'm really sorry, but I now have the cutest dog in the whole world, so I need to post about it on Instagram. But I didn't want my Instagram, my social media, which is really about my life in London and the places that I go and visit, I didn't want that to become a dog Instagram account. And there are people who, they might not care about what my dog is doing, but they care about my life and what I do. So I just was like, let me try this.
Mm-hmm.
And that was the initial, like, push was just so that I wasn't clogging up my Instagram feed. But then what it became was a place to meet people who lived locally to me, but who I didn't necessarily run into at the park, you know?
Yep.
And it became this place where I could find that community that I so desperately craved and wanted to be a part of. It was the place where I made those first initial interactions with people. And that's what it is now. I have no desire to, like, make a living off of Buxton's Instagram account, but I love interacting with people.
Mm-hmm.
I love having conversations with people and, making people laugh with with captions or making people...
You do have some good ones.
Thanks. I think I put my the best one the other day when I took Buxton to Bushy Park and made some deer puns in the caption.
Very good.
I really think that was peak Buxton Instagram. I don't know if I can do anything better
Buxton.
Than that. Yeah, do anything better than that. But it's funny, like, to give him that voice to me. He's like this, like, quirky, like, guy who would say puns, but still a charmer, an English gentleman.
That's fair enough. Fair enough.
And that's just, I started the Instagram account, because I was thinking and caring for the people who were in my life.
Mm-hmm.
And then it became this thing, this place where I made new friends and met new people. And there are accounts on there who, like, I genuinely care about those people and they're pets.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so there's a woman recently, two people who their dogs had kennel cough, and I genuinely felt for them. Mm-hmm. I was genuinely worried. Another woman whose dog I follow, her father-in-law is really, really ill, and I genuinely care about that.
Well, this is where the community element comes in that you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Because Instagram is a community.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't get to meet everyone in real life, but you form those same connections and that same bond with the humans and the dogs that you see on there.
Yeah, and it takes this, mega city and makes it feel so small.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it feel like, a tiny community where, people know each other. Yeah. And, I might not know, that adorable little Yorkshire Terrier, but mm-hmm. the cockapoo that I know knows a Yorkshire Terrier.
Yes.
And it just makes it feel so much smaller.
Yeah.
And it's a lot of fun. Like, nobody's posting nasty stuff. Mm-hmm. Nobody's posting politics.
Yeah.
Nobody's, being rude. There's never any nasty comments.
No, it's true.
It's just such a positive, fun place on the internet.
No, I love it.
Dogstagram is, it shows the best of people.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, if everybody had a dog and talked through their dog, the world would be such a nicer place.
There would be no war.
Yeah, if we all interacted with each other just through our animals on the internet, they'd be great. But it's then moving those relationships from Instagram, from a comment section, from a story, into real life. Mm-hmm. That is so special.
Oh, yeah. And absolutely.
It really is. And, I mean, you had put together a great walk recently.
Thank you.
Yeah, really fantastic. And, like, there were people that were from all over the country.
It was insane.
It was amazing.
Yeah.
It really was incredible. And there was no, nasty talk.
No.
And there was no feeling insecure.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was raining as well. So
we all looked
like ground rats. Us and our dogs.
50 wet dogs.
Yeah, exactly. And so it takes out that sense of competition.
Mm.
Or it takes out that, any sort of negativity there. And it puts us all on the same even playing ground.
Keeping it real.
Yeah.
We had to pick up dog poop.
Exactly. Exactly. And we just... You genuinely care about that person's dog, and then therefore you care about them. It's such a good place. Like, if you have a dog and your dog is not on Instagram, do it.
Get on the ground.
Yeah. And I think we were having a conversation before about sort of getting caught up with followers, and I think you had left me alone to reflect for a moment.
And while I went and got dinner.
While you went and got her dinner. Thanks, by the way.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Good Cuban food.
Yeah, it was excellent. and it was like, but that's not what I'm there for.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't matter if I have less Instagram followers than someone else.
Yeah.
As long as I'm, engaging with people. And,
absolutely.
Yeah, and having fun with it. I just don't want to do anything to make it not be fun anymore. Yeah,
I think that's something that a lot of people sadly kind of lose, especially on Instagram, where there is the opportunity to make money and things like that, that a lot of people lose sight as to why they're there, and they lose their authentic voice or their dog's authentic voice. and I think when it becomes too commercialized like that, the real connections you have with people start to vanish.
Yeah.
And like I was saying to you earlier, we all know those people that take every single job that's out there, every post is a sponsored post. And it's not something I think that Instagram is about.
Mm.
I think it is about that community, about sharing connections and relationships. I'm like, oh, what did that dog get up to today?
Yeah.
What happened on their stories?
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think, at least to us, from the sound of it, having that realness about it, that we're all in the same struggle. We all literally have to pick up poop.
Yeah.
We have to walk our dogs in the rain.
Exactly. And we're all trying to make it in the city.
Yes.
And that's so true. And it's a great way as well of, seeing what other people are up to.
Yeah.
And it's a different side of the city.
Yeah.
It's a different side of this place that... Yeah, you can come to London and just be like, okay, Big Ben, the London Eye, Buckingham Palace, and Camden Market, and that's it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's a whole new side of the city that the tourists don't necessarily get to see.
It's true. Well, I mean, last year's Dogs of Instagram walk was at the Imperial War Museum.
Yeah.
Most people had never even heard of it, let alone been there.
Yeah.
And after going to the biggest dog run in central London, they're like, wow, this place is amazing.
And it is. It's an incredible building.
Yeah.
And
absolutely.
It's a great place, but that's just it. And if we're helping each other out with that, it makes it just a nicer place to live. Yeah.
I 100% agree
yeah.
with you.
Yeah.
So my final question is...
here we go.
Any other dogs in the future?
Yeah, so I think it was funny. When I first was in the honeymoon phase uh-huh. with Buxton, I was like, give me three more. Like, I could do this all day, every yep. day. The truth is, I have a really demanding job. Mm. I work at a faith-based community center, mostly working with vulnerable women. Mm. So, women who are broken and who are abused. And it's a horribly demanding job, emotionally taxing. And the truth is, I don't know that as much as I've myself that I'm able to give to Buxton now, I'm not sure I would be able to like handle that at the moment. And the other, the truth is a lot of the stuff that we do, Buxton and I do together, mm-hmm. I don't know that I could do with two dogs. I don't know if I could bring two dogs to work.
Right.
You know?
Right.
Buxton comes on visitations with me. Yeah. So when we go, we visit a couple of housebound elderly women.
Wow.
I don't know if I can bring two dogs yeah. into their flat. Yeah. So I do have this, like, idea in my head, though, of, like, not... obviously cloning Buxton.
People have done it.
I know. I watched a video about it and yeah. I was like, oh, I'm not sure about this. But I have this, so we babysit dogs, you know, yeah. we dog sit sometimes just for friends. And there was a puppy that we dog sat who, she was with us for 3 weeks.
Wow.
And at the end of the time that she was with us, she had taken on some of Buxton's characteristics. And so their owners were, like, super thrilled.
Wow.
But I was like, I wonder if I get another dog and they're young enough, will it be like they take on the personality of Buxton? That'd be amazing because he's just the sweetest and the best. So,
yeah.
Yeah, I think eventually if I had a less demanding job, I'd do it in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I can definitely see myself, yeah, being a permanent dog lady, and I,
yes.
yeah, and I'm and proud to be. I don't think there's
damn right
anything to be ashamed in that. Yeah, and I think as long as yeah, I can maintain the financial, mm-hmm. yeah, responsibility of that.
Yeah.
I think eventually I would like to get another dog.
Ooh.
But of course, yeah, I would get another rescue without a doubt.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Well, I will let you know
yeah.
if there's any
if you hear
that
anything.
I don't want.
Oh, good. All right. I'll get your rejects. No, no.
No, I mean, I often describe. I'm like, oh yeah, I've got 5 dogs and counting.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Oh no.
There's gonna be more.
Yeah, and you know what? If you are able to do that, yeah. that's amazing. That's amazing. Buxton, any final words? Oh, he's drinking his water.
I think this is probably a good place to wrap it up yeah. on the first ever podcast.
Yeah, thank you so much.
No, thank you guys yeah. for being part of it.
You, yeah, what you do, Kim, is incredible.
Oh, thank you.
And you really, but that's, you help make that community so much
oh,
easier and so much better.
It's so nice
so,
of you.
Thank you.
I'm giving you a cyber hug now.
Yes, yay.
Jen, Buxton, thank you both so much yeah. for helping me with this. And yeah, I'm going to have fun editing. But yay, any final words?
Yeah, just, yeah, if you don't know where your dog comes from, don't buy it. And yeah, enjoy London with your dog.
Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. Thank you.
So that's it, guys. Our first ever podcast. Thank you so much to Jen and Buxton for being absolute superstars and joining me for the first episode. And thank you guys so much for your continued support and love. I know this is a crazy new adventure for me, and fingers crossed you guys find it as interesting and informative as I do. Till the next episode. Bye.